One more announcement real quickly. There is a sign-up sheet here for your attendance. So there's one going on this side, one going on this side. There is a nursery in room 317 for everybody's up.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to be here, and what a privilege to be able to stand in front of you and share with you for the next 45 to 50 minutes a little bit of God's Word regarding the clarity of the Gospel. All right, and if you would turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and while you're turning there, I wasn't scheduled to preach tonight because our brother Keith Baxter was scheduled to preach tonight. So if I say anything tonight that doesn't make sense to you, it's not clear or anything like that, I'm just preaching what Keith gave me, okay? He wrote the message out, I'm just repeating what he said. So if I say anything wrong, just phone him and sort it out with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For, here's the reason. It says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, in short, Paul gives them the gospel there, the gospel that he preached, that is received of the Lord. He gives them the gospel that he's preached unto them, which he says, the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what? Saved. So the gospel that Paul says saves the believer is the gospel that he has received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel of Christ Jesus' death, according to the Scriptures, that he's going to die for our sins, according to the Scriptures, his burial, and then his resurrection, third day, according to the Scriptures. Now that seems to me pretty straightforward. That's the gospel. Right? Paul says there's simplicity in Christ. Do you agree? The gospel is really simple. The gospel is when we're going to get to that later on a little bit and get into the details of the gospel. But basically the gospel is you and I, mankind, have a problem. And that's sin. And for that problem, God made a provision. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you and I were not able to save ourselves and to pay for our eternal salvation. And that's why Christ died for our sins and paid the price. The gospel to be saved is not what I bring to God or that I can give to God. But on the contrary, the gospel is what Christ has done for me. Amen? Can I go sit down now? I mean, that's as simple as that is, okay? But I got a job to do tonight, and I was asked to preach a message on the clarity of the gospel. And they would want me to refute, to identify and refute confusing expressions often thought to be the gospel. Now, you and I all come from various backgrounds. There's very few here that I believe that has really been born into a grace family. Now, some of you have, but most of us come from various backgrounds. We have various denominational and religious backgrounds that we've been affiliated with, been attached with, and we grew up under, and we heard everything out there, right? And so, but and so we know that there's out there, there's a whole lot of so-called gospels, people preaching messages that they say is the so-called gospel, that sounds so good. It also feels so good. But in reality, it is not good. Because it's not the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, and I want to identify some of of these Gospels, or the way that it's presented tonight, and show you, and I'm sure that I'm preaching mostly to the choir here tonight, you know, you understand and know these things, but there is a desperate need for believers today. There's a desperate need for us when we share the Gospel with somebody out there, and we meet somebody on the street, or meet somebody in church, or it doesn't matter where we meet them, and we present the Gospel, that Gospel that you and I present, that it has to be accurate. Do you agree with me? And the way to be accurate is to stick with the right Gospel. I mean, scriptures, there's different Gospels in the Scriptures, right? There's the Gospel of the Kingdom. The Gospel of the Kingdom is not the message preached that Jesus Christ comes and died for your sins, paid for your sin. We know it's covered under there somehow, somewhere, but that's not the precise. It's the Messiah's coming, the good news of the Messiah, the deliverer of the nation, to establish the kingdom promised, right? But the Gospel you and I preach today is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these folks out here that is preaching the so-called gospel preaches a false gospel, and the reason for them doing so, and as we're going to see through some of these tracks tonight, is that the reason why they do that, the main reason is what? They do not rightly divide the word of truth. If you want to preach the gospel accurately, 100% correct today, you have to preach the gospel rightly divided, obviously the gospel that is for the but now, but the gospel that God has given to who to give to us? The Apostle Paul. That is the only gospel you can preach by which a man is going to be saved, if we preach that accurately. You get that? And so, that's what we need to look. The main reason is they don't rightly divide the word of truth. And then they mixed in stuff that is made up, or the teachings and the doctrines that is made for the nation of Israel, that God has given through the prophets for the nation of Israel, that Jesus Christ Himself preached on this earth, that the 12 preached to the nation of Israel, and they mixed that in with us and bring the two together and say, well, that's a gospel. That's not a clear gospel. That makes a murky gospel, right? If you take two different substances and you add into two, you get a mixture of the two, right? And you don't get it right. And I always have this example of how people get mad with me. Not mad, they get, you know, when I say that gospel is technically needs to be correct. And then they say, oh, the gospel is not, you make technical because I don't understand technical stuff. That's too heavy, you know. But in my mind, technical stuff is fairly, I like it. That's simple, you know. And so this is not so simple, but it has to be technically correct. For example, we're coming here tonight, and we're going to sit here, and it's going to get dark out there soon. And when it's dark out there soon, what do we need in this room? Light. Right? And so, in order for there to be light, there needs to be a power source, right? Okay? In order for there to be light, there needs to be a light bulb, or fluorescent bulb, or whatever you want to call it, alright? Tube, fluorescent tube, or a bulb, right? But there needs to be a conduit, there needs to be a switch. Will that light work if any one of those things, the power supply, the conduit, the switch is out of place, is not there? No. But if they're all there, will the light work? And it's the same with the gospel. The gospel is, you can't just believe one aspect of it and not believe the other aspect. The gospel is Christ died for our sins, was buried for us, was raised again the third day according to the scriptures, raised for our justification, and all you and I need to do is believe what God has already provided. That's the gospel. Okay? And it has to have that. Okay? What I call the most of the other stuff is tradition and theology and preacher talk. You know? That's what it is. And about these people that preach the gospel not right, let me stand here and say to you tonight, I mean, this is something that has been on my mind. There are folks out there that's sincerely preaching the gospel. They are sincerely wrong. You get me? Okay? But you and I, as grace believers, sometimes look at those folks at such a negative angle, and we just want to really beat them over the head because they don't get it right. We get so mad with them, and we're so frustrated with them when they do that. Instead of bringing them into the truth, instead of bringing them and explaining to them what is the gospel. Now, if they reject what you say, that's another story, okay? But sometimes somebody's going to preach something that you know is not the gospel. It's not the pure gospel. And so you and I, as believers who know the word more perfectly, have the responsibility to go to that person and say, hey, you know what? If you mind, and I know you're sincere. I know that you love the Lord. I know you want to do whatever is right. But let me show you what is the pure gospel. Let me show you from... Now, if he rejects that, that's his problem, not yours, right? But because somebody's preaching the gospel right, doesn't give me the right to, you know, just bark all over him and you know, he needs to hear it. And I can't help in Acts chapter 18. You know, Apollos was an eloquent man in the scriptures, mighty in the scriptures, but he only knew the baptism of John. He only knew the gospel of the kingdom. And yet Aquila and Priscilla took him one side and expounded to him the word of God more perfectly. And then he went on and helped many who believed in Christ, says the scripture. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, I hope you understand what I'm saying. The satanic policy of evil is to corrupt what? The Word of God. And if he can get you to preach a gospel that sounds like the right gospel, feels almost like the right one, but it's not the right one, guess what? He gets what he wants. And we need to be careful for that. And that's why you and I need to study the scriptures. That's why you and I need to give attention to the scriptures. That's why it's not just enough to be sincere when it comes to the Word of God, rightly divided. But that it is to come there and to study it for us to know what it says. So that we are able to go and present a pure gospel to people that are lost out there. You understand? I got an email from somebody this week. And we get quite a few emails from a response to our website. And the person wrote to me and he says, am I rapture ready? And so the statement, the subject was the rapture ready. And I'm like, what does this person want? He said, am I rapture ready? He said, I'm really trying hard to live the Christian life. I'm really working hard. I love the Lord, etc., etc. I'm trying hard. I'm trying my best. And I know that Jesus died for the sin of the world. But that's where he stopped. And he asked me the question, am I rapture ready? You know? And my response to him was, you cannot be rapture ready by trying your best, because there's nothing that you can give God. Okay, because God has given us his best, which is Christ. Right? And I said, but if you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and you believe that gospel, and you know that he died for your sins, if you believe that, yes, you're rapture ready. And I said, well, we can't get into the other aspect of being rapture ready as believers. You know, sometimes as believers, there's a judgment seat of Christ that we're going to face still too, you know. So that you can go very wide with that, but we're not going to go there tonight. So anyway, speaking about the gospel. Just on a personal note, on my own personal life. I got saved when I was 15 years old. Right? My wife said, you told the story before. Who's heard my testimony when I got saved? You see, they never listen anyway, so they don't remember, you know. I got saved when I was 15 years old. I was sitting back of a church,